Morning, happy Sunday to all of you. God is good. Good to see you today, Brother Lamas. Welcome back. Yay. God bless you. Praise God. Oh, praise God. This morning, our lesson is Water from the Well. And it's so wonderful that the children downstairs also have the same theme as we do upstairs. I love it. So it just coordinates so nice with the grandchildren, the children. So when you could talk to them about the lesson today, I love that. I know it's perfect. Praise God. Our summer 2022 series, we've been talking about in these first few lessons about loving the unloved. And today we're going to continue that same talking about the unloved. And then next we're going to get into God is our refuge. And then at the end of this quarter, the importance of God's word. And let me just say, if you are reading the word of God this year, you should be probably half or more than halfway through your Bible. Praise God. Whoop, whoop. Yay. Praise God. Isn't that great? And if you haven't, you got behind, you can still just catch up. Just jump in with us. Don't think it's all over. I can't do it. You can do it. I think that this church has inspired me in so many ways because you all read the Bible. You read the Bible every day. And I love it because at the end of the year when there's, and it's not an acknowledgement because we're going to read the Bible anyway, but just to know that my brothers and sisters are daily reading the Word of God, whether you're in the Old Testament starting or the New Testament, whichever, you're still getting the Word, His Word in you. And that's what's changing us individually and then collectively as a church. It's just making us stronger. Personally, I think that if we continue reading the Word of God together, individually together, we are going to be so much stronger. Praise God. And I think it's so good. Praise God. And you know what? It's intentional. We don't just wake up and say, it's 9 o'clock at night. Oh, I need to read the Word of God. It's so intentional. It's like living for God. It's every morning we get up, we put our feet on the floor and go, thank you for this new day. We put our head on the pillow at night. Thank you for this fabulous day. God, it's so intentional. Praise God. Let's just start with prayer. Praise God. Heavenly Father, love you and give you all praise and all glory, for you are King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, just touch each heart that's here today. Bless, Lord, and let your spirit just overshadow everything that's said and done today. In Jesus Christ's name, we give you all glory. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We are going to turn to, in the Word of God, John chapter 4. And the key verse today is just two scriptures. And then the whole story text is really in John chapter 4, starting with verse 5, and it goes to verse 42. I'm not going to read it all. I'll just do a little recap of it. But we will read 13 and 14 today. You've got it? Say amen. Amen. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Praise God. Praise God. This Bible story, and I don't want to make the mistake of thinking that everybody knows the story. So as a teacher, I'm just going to tell you the story. Today's Bible story is about a woman who had a very sad past, and she had done some things in her life that she probably felt ashamed of. And that's why she went to the well at the noonday time when the sun was the hottest and everybody else was having a siesta, rest, time of cool, maybe they have someone to fan them with, a little palm leaf or something. She wanted to avoid the other women that were going to come to the well. She wanted to avoid the whispers at the well, if you will. And she went there thinking that there would be nobody else there. She could just get her water and get on her day. Except on this particular day, there was someone there. And Jesus met her there at the well. And he was tired from his journey. He sent the disciples off to go get some food. And he had been just resting. And the woman at the well arrived. And when she started to draw the water, he said, give me drink. And this command really shocked her because the Jews did not associate with the Samaritans. And she was a Samaritan. He was obviously a Jew. And she says, how is it that you, a Jew, ask me for a drink, a Samaritan woman? Nonetheless, because there's a whole culture with the women also. They're pretty much, you stay at home and the men go to the marketplace. So this was a really big time for socializing that she just didn't get to have because she didn't go when all the other women went to the well. And he said, if you knew the gift of God, he said, and who is saying to you, give me drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. And his words really confused her. She said, sir, you don't even have a bucket and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? So she started having this conversation with Jesus. You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? And he said, could she even at this point dare to hope that this man was different? Maybe he could give her something in her aching soul. She probably got up every day, not just having this lost feeling inside of her of shame. And if he was greater than Jacob, who had given them the well, maybe there really was hope for her. And maybe that hope started to stir up in her when she had this conversation, and it did. And Jesus asked her about her past, and he asked the woman about the sin, and he revealed this sin to her, showing that he knew absolutely everything about her, absolutely everything. But how could he know? How could he know? Was he a prophet? Was Jesus a prophet? And she began to ask him questions about spiritual things, even at that time between the Jews and the Samaritans, how they worshiped, where they worshiped. And then Jesus asked her about her past. But he said this. He said, an hour is coming, he said, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he said, yes, the Father wants such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman's like, I know Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And the Jews and the Samaritans were both waiting for the Messiah. Is that how he knew everything about her? She had to go and tell other people. So the woman went into town and brought those that she had been avoiding in her life every day. She brought those to Jesus. And soon those heard from Jesus and also believed that he was the Messiah that they'd been waiting for. So this was a huge day. I mean, it was like we had a huge day in our country on Friday. This was a huge, praise God for that. Praise God. You're so good, Lord. You're so good. You know, Satan, I told Lonnie, I said, Satan's been murdering babies since the beginning of time, right? In the Old Testament, they were just sacrificing their children to their deity gods and giving their children in worship to idols. And I'm thinking, you know what? Thank God for Friday. And this, praise God. This was a day like that because what happened was spiritual eyes. There was like this veil taken off the eyes. She understood who he was and what he came to do. So the woman, when she went to town, she brought all those people and they got to hear that day the salvation of the Lord. And the thing is about all of this whole story is that before he ever started speaking to her, he knew her. He already knew about her past. And you know what? Yet he spoke to her anyway. And for a Jew to even converse, or the fact that he was going to get water from her at the well, he couldn't have ever drank or taken that from her without being unclean then, because that's what the Jews believed, that he would then be unclean. Man, praise God that he knew us before we ever knew him. And praise God, he speaks to our hearts again today, thank God. In the previous chapter, in John chapter 3, we have been learning in our Sunday school lessons about Nicodemus. And he was a man of power, and he was a man of prestige, and he was educated. And he sought Jesus out, and he had a lot of things to learn, didn't he? And then we have this woman at the well in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. She was poor. She was an outcast. And she wasn't expecting anything. And yet the Lord came and met her that day and spoke to her that day. Praise God. Nicodemus, he needed to be reminded that there was knowledge that he had that was incomplete. The Samaritan woman needed to be reminded that, yes, she lived in sin, and there was one who could take the sin away, right? But she also needed something else. She needed to be lifted up, and she needed to be given value. And that is what the world still needs today. The world still needs forgiveness of sins. They need to be lifted up and given value. Because if there's something that sin does, is it brings you down to the lowest place that you've ever been in your entire life. Then it stomps on you and grinds you to pretty much powder till you think that there's not a tear left in your being. They need to be brought back up again. They need to be lifted up. Sin beats down, and that's what Satan does. He beats down. There's a beautiful story in the lesson connection today, and I'm actually going to go right to it. It's just so good. It's talking about a gentleman who goes into a church. And this gentleman in the church, his name is Carl. He came and he stood out at first when he came into the church. He had a polo shirt on, which was probably his nicest. He had a shaved head, face, and hands that bore scars from and told many stories. They looked to others probably scary. Carl chose to sit at the back of the church, closest to the door, so that he could make a quick exit if he needed to. He had came by the invitation of a lady in the church that barely knew him. Folks, isn't that interesting? Barely knew him. We think sometimes we have to know someone like, oh, by the way, I would like some church cards, Pastor. Okay, thinking of that, thank you. But there he was, not knowing what to expect, sitting in the back of the church. And little did Carl know, new people don't necessarily know this, but when you sit at the back of the church, you're going to be greeted by every saint that walks in the door, right? They're going to greet you and they're going to say, hey, it's so good to see you. We're so glad you're here. You're going to love it. Praise God. And thank you for coming. You know, you're going to love it. Carl could not understand that, you know what? He could not understand that they don't even know who I am. Why are they greeting me like this? They don't know what I've done in my life. Why are they greeting me like this? Anyway, so as soon as church was, he had a chance, he was going to scoot out into the parking lot as soon as possible. However, there was something about the warmth of this congregation that made him come back a week later. He came back a week later for a second visit, and as he was leaving, one of the elderly saints in her 70s struggled down the stairs going, Carl, wait. And she says, when she got to his truck, I just want to tell you how great it was to have you at church today. And Carl's thinking, man, she's pretty old, and she ran down the stairs after me to say, so glad you came, and it was so good to see you. And he was kind of shocked. Well, he went to a parking lot of a restaurant down the road, and he sat, and he cried. And he thought, man, somebody just took the time to think about that for a moment. Somebody just took the time to say, man, it was so good to see you. Thank you for coming to church today. And he said, he was dumbfounded, really. And the story goes on to say that he did come back to church, and he got pulled into this love. And you know what? Shortly after this interaction, he started having a Bible study with one of the saints in the church. And they discovered his past, where it was, you know, a life of sin. And we don't even have to go into it, just a life of sin. But he had become a new member and found hope and love. And the interesting thing about this whole story is that this lady who had gone out down the stairs to say, so good to have you here, we love you, she had years prior, like 50 years prior, lived a life of sin that no one would ever even guess. She looked like a vision of holiness and loveliness and righteousness, praise God. But she lived a life where she lived in a brothel, and she lived in sin, and she didn't live with love. And after all of these years of salvation, she's like, you know what? If God can save me, he can save anyone. And she says, I'm going to share this love of Jesus with everybody. But isn't that our calling too? To share this love of Jesus with everybody? Praise God. Praise God. Today we're talking about the subject of wells, of living water, wells, water from the well. Praise God. And how we must share it with other people. We must, because an encounter with Jesus Christ will change everything in your life. It changes your past, praise God. It changes your present, praise God. And it changes your future. Hallelujah. He knows exactly, and he knew exactly who the Samaritan woman was. And he knew what she needed to understand. He knows exactly who we are. And he knows exactly where we came from. And I used to think, man, these people are so amazingly, fabulously, like, they're just righteous, they're holy, they're godly. And that's you in the church I'm talking about. You know, when I came into church and I thought, I didn't grow up in a preacher's home. I didn't grow up in a missionary's family. I barely went to Sunday school on a bus that, you know, I was made to go. I need 2 hours of freedom. Go. And seriously, and it wasn't a Pentecostal church. But you know what? Oh, through the years, I'm so thankful to be in the house of God today and have this eternal hope. Praise God. And just so much more that other people would have this hope that we share today, that we share it with others. The thing is, just like this story and the connection and the connecting part of the lesson, it doesn't take a whole lot. It doesn't take a whole lot. Just use what you've got. Seriously, it doesn't take a whole lot. Even that when God prompts you to invite someone to church, and there is a gentleman that I work with, he lives down here, and he goes, I don't know how it came up, because I don't even know he knew what church I went to. He goes, do you go to a church he told me where he lived. I said, yes. He said, do you drive a red? And I'm like, that's creepy. Yeah, I drive a red Jeep. He goes, I saw you there. I saw your car there Sunday morning. And he talks to me about God. He goes to church. But you know what? God quickened the spirits of those people that we have interactions with, because you know what? That they would see a hope, God's spirit, something draws them to us and to the church. And I know that it's so interesting that he lives out here and he's passing this church every day. I'm thinking, God, this is so awesome. Praise God. When Jesus was speaking of the springs of living water, he was talking about his spirit. It's really remarkable that he would reveal himself to the Samaritan woman at the well, since the Jews regarded the Samaritans as impure. For the Jews were forbidden to really even drink from any vessel that they handled. Jordan, would you get me a little cup of water? Thank you. Thank you. So this meeting was not by chance. I know sometimes we may think, oh, right place, right time. Guess what? Spirit-filled Holy Ghost saints, right place, right time is God's place, God's time. That's what it is for us too. His timing is divine. You know what? We can set a plan up and write a schedule and put all the details right down to the minute or whatever, the day. And God has a plan, and his plan goes even greater detail than the minute or the day. It goes straight to our soul, that's the changing, the greatest change. That sixth hour of the day, praise God, would have been noon. That hottest time. Thank you so much. Yas. Oh, it's so refreshing. And that wasn't part of the lesson, but it is. No. No, thank you. Praise God. But Most of the women would have come really early or really late in the evening, because that would have been the cooler time of the day to get the water. And I think this is so beautiful, because we can really be confident in God's timing. And we can, Lord help us to be patient and trust him in his timing in our lives, because it is divine. Psalms 31:15 says, basically, my times are in your hands, Lord. At the right time, you will provide need, you will provide and deliver, and you will rescue. That's what God does. We've had our own well as long as we've lived in Alaska. We had a well on Echo Lake, and we have a well now where we live. How many of you have wells? Yes. How many of you have ever had to repair your well? Okay. We did. It takes time, right? And you can't do it yourself with the depth of these wells. You have to hire someone to go down, 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 down. And did you get a huge bill when it was all done? It was huge, right? I looked at it. I was like, that's how much more... Oh my goodness, that what I pay for my mortgage and my whatever each month. I was like, that was so expensive. But you have to have water. So you do whatever it takes to get your well working again, right? It doesn't matter. It didn't matter if you have to work overtime to pay for it, right? It doesn't matter that it's inconvenient because you have to have the water. Well, when there's a problem with the source of your springs of living water, now we're going right into our spiritual lives. When there's a problem with our source of springs of living water, it has to be fixed, right? Whatever it takes, and it doesn't matter what the cost is. Amen? Amen. And in ancient times, those wells, and I love looking at topographically maps of cities. I love Europe especially because I have this hunger to go there one day. And I see the church is primarily the central part of all of these communities. There's so many of them. You see the church and it's this beautiful edifice. And then the city, the community just built right around it. The well in ancient Bible times, the well was the center of the community and everything was built around it. So isn't that so amazing, church? Everything was built around it. It meant that people could get water for their livestock. They could have water for their vegetable garden and for Sister Via's flower garden that she has and for their daily use, right? And it was also a social place, very social. But what does our spiritual well represent? It represents life. It represents prosperity and abundance because his spirit in our life represents life and life more abundantly. We have prosperity. We have abundance in him. Amen? Praise God. So we could say water, and if we're doing math, equals life. Water equals life. Okay, this is where we say, woo-hoo! You know what? Praise God. Water equals life. Our Holy Ghost, water, rain equals our life. It equals our existence. It's everything. We depend on it. And you know what? It equals everything. And the lack of it is another story, right? We see desolation, dryness. We see dry bones. We see no healing. We see just the lack of. And praise God for water. Those ancient wells provided thirst-quenching water, clean. We get to be clean. We have water for so many things. I have a friend at work that shows me she lives in Sterling, and she has a lawn that has, 12 little sprinklers that come up three times a day and water her lawn. And I said, oh, that must be amazing. Your grass must be so green and lovely. And she showed me a picture last week, and her grass is so gorgeous. Our grass is not so gorgeous at home because we have to water it, you know, move the sprinkler around and pull it around. But just by her having these sprinkler heads come up, and she has them programmed so she can actually do it on her phone. She could see the temperature in her yard. And I was like, oh, wow, this is very high tech. But her grass is beautiful, but it's been watered. His spirit waters. It quenches our thirst. It refreshes. We look better. We're clean. It provides sustenance for us. Praise God. God's spirit, spiritual wells are for us to drink from freely. It's for those of you who are weary. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're dry. Maybe you're desperate. You know what? It's for everybody. It was for Carl in the story I shared earlier. It's for everybody. There's a song, and I don't know, I listened to a version of it, two versions of it, and Lonnie liked one version a little bit more than I did. It's called, I've Got a River of Life Flowing Out of Me. Do you know it? Okay. Well, I don't know it. I was like, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a liver of, liver, you guys like that? I've got a river of life flowing out of me. And then spring up a well. Really? Oh, you guys, praise God. Yes. Oh, well. You know what? I knew that Sister Glover would know this song. Do we sing it here?
No.
Okay. Okay. We did? Okay. Well, that well represents supply. It represents provision. And when the Israelites traveled to a place where God had, get this, miraculously provided water in the past. I want you to get this. They would sing in Numbers 21, 16, and 17, spring up, oh well. And I thought of that. When I found that song, I was like, oh, spring up, oh well. We could say that. It doesn't matter if we've had the Holy Ghost for 100 years or 1 year. We can say, spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Praise God. You know what? Praise God. God's people, you know, they recognized when they were seeing this water supplied by God, they recognized that He was the one who provided the water. He was the one that provided it, and if He provided it in the past, He can provide it in the future. Amen? Praise God. Aren't you glad that you can depend on Jesus? And I, as I'm writing this out, because I know I can depend on Jesus. Yesterday, forever, He'll be the same. Amen. Sometimes wells speak of an encounter with God. Don't we all want to have an encounter with God? Except having an encounter in God, folks, you know, there's a precursor, right? Something is happening in our lives and we need an encounter with God. Sometimes it's a desperation, right? It's a place where maybe we don't want to revisit again, but God did provide, and it's built a foundation of faith that we can go from this faith, and then when we go into the next situation, we can go into greater faith. And then when we see the Carls of Sterling, Soldat, and Akeni walk into our churches, we can see them through eyes of faith. And I say that, you know, people say loving the unlovable, and my husband will say, oh, that's a bad guy. He's really bad. He's done bad things. I'm like, guess what? He has a soul that's real, that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And he's like, yeah, whatever, you know. But there, and I think souls, you know, the harbor in Homer, they have that Mariner's Memorial. Okay, there's this poem on there. It's just unbelievable. It talks about this bell tolls for the souls lost at sea. And you know, when an airplane, it talked about souls, you know, being lost. And then when an airplane goes down, it'll not say this many people passed. It'll say so many souls. I think we think of people, you know, in their place of abuse and life's destruction, and maybe put a name or a label on them. I label them souls. They're souls. They're souls that God breathed breath into at birth. And until God takes, they take their last breath. You know what? They are a soul that is in need of salvation. They need a savior. Praise God. So our encounters with God, sometimes wells can speak of those God encounters. And there was in scripture, I always found this so fascinating that when Hagar found the spring of water, and she was instructed to go back to her mistress, Sarah, because she left because she was being mistreated and not being treated well. Well, that place, that encounter with God at that location where God gave her springs of water in Genesis 16, it says, it basically was named the well of the one who lives and sees me. Wow. Praise God, the well of the one who lives and sees me. Hagar, you know, she had a couple well encounters, you know, when she went out into the wilderness with her son, and they were like, okay, they were told to leave, get out of here, don't come back. And they were dying of thirst, and she thought, okay, my son's going to die before my very eyes. And she prayed, and God, get this, he opened her eyes, and right behind her son, there was like this well of water, and they were able to drink and live. God, open our spiritual eyes. There's things that are right in front of us that, God, just open our spiritual eyes to see them. There's wells of blessings. There's wells of hope, our spiritual eyes, because when we see whether it's our life or someone else's life, nobody is beyond redemption or reach. God ministers to the hurting. He ministers to the helpless, to the abused. And he ministers to all of these groups of society. And he ministered to the outcast woman in Samaria, this particular woman at the well. So history records in first century Palestine that a woman's social sphere was only as large as her family. So the Jewish writings basically said that it was the way of a woman to stay at home, and it's the way of a man to go into the marketplace. But Jesus, and Pastor alluded to this week, he spoke with such tenderness to this woman at the well, and the woman with the issue of blood. When he called her daughter, he addresses her, the woman that was doubled over from a spiritual oppression. He calls her the daughter of Abraham. He loved and provided for the poor. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Praise God. He said in Luke 14, "But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the crippled, the lame, the blind." And you know what he said? "You will be blessed." Praise God. "The unclean were healed of their affliction." That was in our lesson last week about the lepers. But what was so remarkable is in Mark chapter 1, 41, it says, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean." The leper had wanted to be cleaned and cleansed and whole. But what was so amazing is that he touched the leper. This was a man who was an outcast and who probably had not had somebody touch him or put an arm around him and say, "I love you," befriend him, maybe ever in his life. But Jesus was moved with compassion, and he did this beautiful act of kindness and love, knowing that it would be unclean for him to do so. And he did it. We have a thing called COVID right now. It's not appropriate as a hospital worker to touch unless you're hands-on. You know, that's what you do. We don't touch people anymore. It's just people need touch. And then you know what? Then there are times I'm like, you know, I don't care. I don't care. Exactly. I'm sorry. Sometimes people, you know what? If you're hurting, grieving, suffering, sometimes you just need someone to put an arm. You need someone to have an arm put around you. You need someone to hug you. You need someone to tell you, "I love you." Holding their hand, letting them feel another human touch. And that's what he got that day from the Lord. You know, think of all the things that the Lord gave him. He gave him that touch that day. He reached out and touched him. Imagine how thirsty that leper was for just a touch. Man, remember that woman with the issue of blood? She took it upon herself to touch the Lord, knowing that she was unclean. She knew that. And his response was not rebuke. The Lord did not rebuke her. This is what he said in Luke chapter 8, 48. He said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." He didn't respond to her touch with a rebuke. He just said, you know what? Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. You know what? There's something about wholeness and peace. It's just amazing. Thank God that he gives it to us. Praise God. The physical wells are so important, and so are our spiritual wells. Battles, literal battles, have been fought over wells in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 21, 25, think about that, fighting over the well. But it's, and Abraham reproved Abimelech because of the well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. The well was their source of water. It was their source of life. The cattle needed it. The people needed it. It was their wealth. And without the water, the vegetation would die. The cattle would die. And so we have a member of Abraham's camp, okay, laboring, probably more than one member, laboring and digging, because it says it takes 15 men approximately 90 days to build or dig an ancient well, depending on the size of the well. So it would take Abraham's people some time to do this. So while they're doing this, in Abimelech's camp, they were just waiting to take and forcibly take this well. Okay, they're building this well because it meant wealth, it meant water, it meant for their herds, for their livelihood. What Abimelech wanted to do is what Satan wants to do with us, is to reap where he did not sow. He wanted to take something that was not his. This well had probably been guarded and taken care of, like we're going to take care of this, so nobody could take it away. We need to guard our spiritual well. We don't want anyone to take it away. We don't want Satan to take it away. He's a nag, and he'll do whatever he can to get whatever spiritual water we have. And you ever notice that the enemy comes in after a red-hot, fiery service at church? It doesn't even have to be red-hot, fiery. You just left church, and you feel absolutely wonderful, right? And then on the way home, there's bickering. Where did that come from? Right? I mean, where did that come from? Satan is a liar. Rebuke him right then and there. Mighty God. Wells were used for times of worship. Worshiping God encounters. Ooh, we love that. We love it. Before I go on to that, worshiping God encounters, after Abraham had died, the Philistines filled the wells to pollute, clog, and render them useless for the descendants of Abraham. Their hatred for God and his people was so great that they were willing to essentially murder these people by shutting off their water supply. Think about it. That's what Satan wants to do. Think about it, right? Wells used for worship. When Isaac arrived at Beersheba, meaning the well of oath, the first thing he did was build an altar. Genesis 26, 25 says he did this. He worshiped, pitched the tent, and dug a well. Woo, folks. We're getting ready to dig a well here in a few minutes. Praise God. When we worship God, we show that God is our source of everything we need, our supply of everything. Lord, help us not to neglect that time. And believe me, if an idol is set up in your life, God will, in his love and mercy, allow something in your life to come in to your life to help you refocus. Let's just not allow the idol to come into our life so that God doesn't have to come in and tear down and help us refocus again. Praise God. Worship is like so intentional. It's like getting up and reading our Bible. It's like getting up and we're living for God today. It's pitching our tent second, digging our well. Praise God. Worship, pitch our tent, dig a well. It positions us in a place where God can use us, bless us, and it's an encounter with God that we have. We take it so, we live with it every day, and when we see the great things God's doing, when we pray for other people, and people are touched, you see, when they go from the fetal position and they just relax and they're comfortable. You can see God's spirit on them. When you pray for someone and the tears start flowing and they're touched by God, we're so surrounded with it. It's so natural and normal for us, and it should be, that, you know what, we sometimes think that everybody knows about this and they feel this. Everybody doesn't know about this and everybody doesn't feel this. And when you think other religions and churches know about this and feel this, they don't. They're sad and dry and have no peace, and they need something more. So there are great sources. I think they are our greatest resources for new saints in the church, because they already have a foundation. Praise God. They love God, but they're missing something. They've got to start. They've got something already, but they need more. Praise God. And I pray that we can be that church. You know, we can be that. As I go and I flip through to the end, we, SBC, can be that church that can be that end revival church where divine things, great things happen in the spirit that we could have never imagined, and it's because of his great resources. Praise God. Praise God. God's covenant to his people was that he would bring them into a land that had wells already dug for them and harvests already planted, Deuteronomy 6:11. We're living in that end times right now. Praise God. And I thought of this scripture before and during this lesson in Micah 6:8, and I'm going to close with it. It says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Thank God that he is just. Thank God that he is full of mercy for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are or who the soul might be in your family or in your neighborhood, in your workplace. For everyone, praise God. Just like the story of Carl at the beginning. Thank God for the story of the woman at the well, how the Lord demonstrates his care for all. That wasn't a chance encounter. It was a God encounter, and it was a great day for that city. It was a great day for the Samaritans over for the history. We can do the same today, being his disciples. Praise God. God bless you as we go into the next part of today. I love that we're going to celebrate Jesus. Amen. Praise God.